Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to God's Bishops. Our mission in life's journey is to repair the breach in the walls of the body of Christ where failed overseers or leaders with poor character and judgment have caused the breach and failed the body. We believe that the leadership must first ourselves practice what we preach and live those beliefs. I'm thankful that you have joined me on today. God is truly blessing. We're going to speak today in reference to destroying the enemy's forces. Now, God has been working with me, the Holy Spirit has, for some time now, and he has enlightened my spirit and caused me to go deeper into his word, which is what he said he would do if you would seek him first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. So I truly believe that, and I thank God for allowing me to be on the air and to share with you on today. If you're enjoying the show, if you would ask someone else to listen at some of the archives of some interesting things that God has shared with me periodically. But right now we're going to move forward because I want to hurry up and get to the speaking of the word, the decreeing and the declaring, so that we can break some of this, some of these forces that are attacking us, that are holding up for our blessings in the heavenlies. Okay? God says that there's warfare going on in the heavenlies constantly. Okay? It's his army against the enemy's army, and the enemy only comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so since he does do this, and this is his MO, okay, mode of operation, we're going to do what Christ said to do in order to combat all of his tactics. So this section is called Destroying the Enemy's Forces. Now, first, let's go into the throne room for the power that comes from the Holy Ghost to come forth now. I pray thee in Jesus' name. Won't you join me as I pray? Holy Spirit of the living God, I invite you in to take complete control over the airways right now in Jesus' name. I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, to do a perfect work in the heavenlies as down here on earth as it is in the heavenlies. I'm asking Holy Spirit of the living God to move all things that are not right within me. I cast down everything that exalts itself above the name of Jesus. Peace be still. And to come forth, Holy Spirit, with your word, I remove myself and denounce all of my thoughts, for his thoughts are higher than my thoughts. His ways are far beyond my ways. And so right now, Holy Spirit of the living God, I'm giving you the authority on earth as it is in heaven to do a perfect work for your people in Jesus' name. I pray with thanksgiving that it shall be done. Amen, amen, and amen. Now, Jesus came to destroy all the works of the devil, according to 1 John 3:8. I asked you if you would bring your Bibles or at least take notes so that you can get some of these scriptures, because they're going to be imperative, because this thing is very simple, but it's very complex all at the same time. So what we need to do in the body of Christ is every time we hear and become enlightened, that we need to take those notes so we can go back at another time because you know the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he comes to take that word. Just as when the seeds were sown on the ground, you know, some were on stony, some, you know, different varied types of soil. Okay, so it depends on the type of soil, and it depends on your mentality, your mindset, and who you are as to how much of this you can ingest. So if you're a person that has to have or needs to have some notes taken so that you can go back, please do so. Now, I say again, Jesus came to destroy all the works of the devil, not some of the works. He came to destroy all the works, and he succeeded in his task. The works of the devil are carried out by his forces, the devil's forces. Satan's kingdom consists of principalities. It consists of powers, rulers of darkness in this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Okay? So let's go with 1 John, I said chapter 3, verse 8. And I'm going to start with 7. But if you could start at the first beginning of 3 when you get ready, which talks about live as God's children. Remember, we have to live as God's children. We have to be teachable, in other words. We can never get where we know more than the master. We can never get where we know more than the teacher. Do you understand my point? So we have to remain in our spirit so that we'll be teachable, so that God can move and have his being. The Holy Spirit can go inside of us, because God says that his word is going to be written on our hearts and in our minds, okay? Because you never know when this word is going to be taken from you. We're moving toward the one world order. And know that when that happens, a lot of the things that we rely on to be able to reference in terms of in our Bibles and that sort of thing, they will confiscate all of those. So this happened in history, and just as it happened in history, because God's people refuse to turn from their wickedness, history is going to repeat itself. And as you can see, it already is. Don't be fooled by what they're telling you, that we're in an upswing in the economy and all that. Man has nothing to do with that. Okay? Man can try all he wants to. But where sin is wreaking havoc, eventually God is going to move his hand according to that, if his people do not turn from their wickedness. Now, the first condition that's in this particular Bible, I'm reading from the Jerusalem Bible, okay, and it says this. First condition is break with sin. Surely everyone who entertains this hope, in other words, to break from sin, must purify himself. He must try to be as pure as Christ. Anyone who sins at all breaks the law. Okay? Now, we know we have a new covenant, all right? Because Jesus came and brought that new covenant, okay? The old one is abolished. All of the types and the shadows are abolished. But God's word did not and will not pass away. We need to understand, God said that he gave us some commandments of how to treat one another. You can't see God if you can't treat fellow man like he's your brother. Treat fellow man as you want to be treated yourself. So we need to stop thinking that all of that is abolished, because it is not. We need to understand that God's commandments reign regardless. And anybody that operates under the commandments don't even have to be a believer if you really want to know the truth of the matter, because when he put that in the atmosphere, when God made those commandments did not pass away. The ten, all right? So I don't know what this new thing is of teaching you that you don't have to keep God's commandments. You do have to keep God's commandments. You don't have to keep the statutes that the Jewish synagogue people taught you, even though a lot of those principles still, you know, in terms of giving and doing certain things, that you're going to be blessed as the believers are blessed. But the bottom line is, in the end, if you do not receive Christ Jesus as your Savior, you will not be saved. Okay, so that's where we need to get to. Anyone who sins at all breaks the law, because to sin is to break the law. And he's talking about the commandments, those sins. Now you know that he appeared in order to abolish sin, and that in him there is no sin. So that's what Christ came to do. Now you know that Christ appeared in order to abolish sin, and that in him there is no sin. Anyone who lives in God does not sin, and anyone who sins has never seen him or known him. My children, do not let anyone lead you astray. To live a holy life is to be holy just as he is holy. Okay? Christ is holy. To lead a sinful life is to belong to the devil, since the devil was a sinner from the beginning. So if you live a life of sin, going with the scripture that where sin abounds, grace abounds more, yes, it does. okay? But grace is supposed to tweak you. When you fall down, grace is supposed to raise you up, okay? And you confess that sin, and you tell the Lord, God, I need you, I want you. And by the way, in this season, we need to be telling God, I love you. We need to be telling Christ, I love you. Stop talking about what's in his hand and how he performs the miracle, but tell him that you love him. Tell him that he is adorable to you. Tell him that because he has loved you first, you have now learned how to love him. And if you keep supping with him and loving on him and telling him to teach you and change you and move you into what he would have you to grow to be, that's where that grace is going to do exactly, exceedingly abundantly, all that you could possibly ask or think of. And the next thing you know, sin won't be able to touch you. Okay, you'll be living on the inside and not on the outside, okay, where sin abounds. All right? So listen what he says. He says Christ came to live this life. He came to lead us out of sin. And since the devil was a sinner from the beginning, okay, Satan has always been a sinner. He was born into sin. When he fell, all right, and when he rose up against God, thinking that it was okay for him to have his own kingdom, all right, but you're in God's kingdom. How can you have your kingdom inside a kingdom? Come on, okay, God is a monarch. He is not a diplomat, okay, he's that's not how this thing works, all right. Democracy, though we think it's a good thing, it is teaching you differently from what the Word of God teaches you. Because how can you line yourself up with God if you're still trying to do a democratic thing? I need you to understand that. I need you to hear me. That democratic thing that you're trying to do, that you can pick and choose what you choose to pick and choose, because that's what the Democrats believe in doing, okay? They move aside what is right to do and still for the whole, so that everybody is happy and everybody can live their lives according to how they want to live their lives, even unto damnation. The Democrats feel you have that right to do that. And guess what? God did give you that right. Do you understand? But when you exercise the rights that go against what God says, you're operating in sin and death, my baby. I just need you to understand that, okay? So it was, now this is God's purpose. This is God's purpose. It was to undo. The reason he sent his son, need to know this. It's as I said, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, okay? It was to undo all that the devil has done, that the Son of God appeared. That's why the Son of God appeared. That's why Jesus came. Okay, to undo all that the devil has done. Now, if you don't hear anything else, you need to hear that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Christ came to undo all that the devil did. Now, how can we apply that to our lives? How can we learn how to tap into what Christ really did for us? Because that salvation package is not just about being saved and going to heaven. It's about being able to have heaven here on earth, okay? Because we're supposed to be practicing that thing, my baby. We're supposed to be living in power so that when we are turned, we are changed from mortal to immortality, okay? It's just a blink of the eye and it's already done. All those things that weren't completed will be completed, and I thank God for that. But in the meantime, you need to have a little bit of heaven on earth so you're not so weary in well-doing. See, the reason we keep praying and asking him to change this and change that, no, change. Let him change you, okay, because that stuff is not going to change. How your neighbor treats you is not going to change. What you have to do is change your mindset and change how you deal with that situation, okay? And you have to operate not in sin with him sinning against you, but turning that other cheek. That was the hardest thing for me to learn on this journey. I need you to know, because when you slap me, guess what? I want to knock you into Georgia someplace. I need you to understand that. I have never been one of those kind of people that, you know, because I was misused and I was abused as a young person, as a young girl, I always said, and this is something I've had to go back and grab those words that I said and cast them into the sea of forgetfulness, okay? Because what I was doing was moving into my own being and not allowing God to be God in my life. God is the one that battles. The angels do battle. I can't do battle physically because when I do battle physically, that puts me in sin. Do you understand? Christ didn't die for us to be in sin. He can't, that's why he showed us what it looked like and what it felt like for somebody to beat him and humiliate him and torment him, okay, and do all the things that they did against him so that he could show you how you still have to stand no matter what they do. Now, he didn't say a mumbling word because he had a purpose, and that purpose was to die on Calvary, okay, on that cross, that all of our sins would die on that cross with him, okay, so that we would have right to the tree of life. But now, what is our part? Our part is to speak to that enemy in the heavenlies and to pull down those strongholds, not by fighting them with our flesh, flesh on flesh, but spirit against spirit. That's why you got to get the word of God in you. That's why you've got to move and have your being in Christ. That's why you have to have the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit can say that's warfare. Speak to that warfare. And you have enough inside of you at any point in time, any given day, any given hour. You can do it in your sleep. Being awakened at 2 o'clock in the morning, you can speak to that, start speaking in your Holy Ghost, in the Holy Ghost, through your prayer language, you understand, to cast down and to root out. But you have to know how to do that, and you have to have the scriptures that it takes, and you're going to have to study and go to those scriptures and build yourself up in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit, and let the Holy Ghost teach you how to do these things. I can only give you what I know to give you, okay, that works for me, all right? But when you speak to that thing, when you speak to that thing, not to the person, as I said before, but when you speak to that enemy, you've got to see him, you've got to see what he's doing, you have to know his purpose, you have to know his agenda, you have to know what he can and cannot do, because remember, Christ, what did I tell you? It was to undo all that the devil has done. That's why he died, to undo all that the devil has done, even from as far back as Adam and Eve. So we're no longer under those curses. We're no longer under any of that. If you speak it, know it in your person, know who you are in Christ. See, all of this running around with the bumper stickers, like Joyce Meyer says, and all the this, that, and the other, and you on Facebook, and, oh, they wear me out on Facebook with the thing where everybody's giving a word and this, that, and the other. Yeah, that's fine, giving that word. But guess what? If you're not speaking to the animals, okay, because they speak back, and I'm going to talk to you about these animals speaking back in a minute. But I need you to know you've got to talk to the animals. You've got to, and that's those, and when I say the animals, I mean those spirits, those demonic spirits, okay? So let me move on quickly here. We're talking about the principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness in this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, you've got to know the different kinds of demons. There are different kinds of demons and different levels of wickedness. All wickedness is not the same. Some of it is how can I say? There are some people that are... And I have a relative that's like this, because they didn't grow up in church, and because they didn't understand warfare, and because they, you know, they're older than me, they have a tendency sometimes to speak from their flesh. In other words, they have the gifts but deny the power thereof. They have the gift but don't understand the gift is to see the enemy. they don't see it like that. What they see is if they see a child acting out or whatever, they know that that child is a bad child. They don't want to see that that child is demon possessed. They don't want to see that a demon is operating under the auspice of that bad behavior. They don't want to see that because that's too scary for them, because they don't know anything about spiritual warfare. So when you have people around you or people connected to you that are that way, you have a tendency to have a hard time with them because they're unteachable, because they have gone to the fact that they have bought into the fact that this is just bad behavior, because the world says it's bad behavior. No, it's not just bad behavior. Remember, there's only two choices, good and evil. And everybody operates under one of those two choices, good or evil. Okay, so when people shut you off and don't want to hear what you have to say, when you give correction, when the correction is biblical correction, then that's a demon operating, because they want to continue to do what they want to do, and they don't want to be subjected to the spiritual power that you're speaking, because they don't want to conform to righteousness. Let's put it that way. Okay, so we can destroy these demons, but you have to know that they're different levels. So sometimes, you know, I've got, as I said, this family member will call and talk and say some things like, oh, well, how is so-and-so doing? Well, I just want you to know that's never going to change. And in other words, not going to allow my prayers to operate, because I've said to them that my prayers are operating, and I'm pulling down those strongholds, and I see what it is, and I'm casting it down, and I'm in prayer, and I'm interceding, okay, which means that I'm taking on that situation. When you intercede, by the way, you don't just speak to that thing and pray with that person. No, an interceder goes into that situation and speak for the person they're praying for. Okay, I'm praying for you for that person. Okay, because your prayers, you need help in your prayers. Maybe you're not strong enough in that particular area of warfare. So I'm going in lieu of you. Okay, and I'm going to speak to that thing, and that thing's going to remove itself. Okay, because I have the power, okay, that's vested in me through Christ Jesus to be able to speak to that mountain, and that mountain has to get up and remove itself. Do you understand? I have the power to do that. Why? Because I'm operating in that part of my salvation package. Do you understand? So what we have to do is, you know, and it wears me out. Those of us who can't speak can't even go get to the hospitals, because all of the parishioners that are at that particular church and the family members, well, I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you. So everybody wants to be acknowledged as praying for somebody. But if you're not a prayer warrior, excuse me, okay, a serious interceder, okay, are you living in sin? First of all, you can't even pray and the God hears you, or anything was going to move, unless you're free of sin. So I have to cast down everything that exalts itself above the name of Jesus. And I have to cast down and root out sins that I know and sins that I don't know that I have. Okay, because there are some sins that are so... The enemy is so wicked and so crafty, he can undergird and undermine you by just the least little thing, and it's camouflage to the point that you're thinking that that situation is one thing when it's actually camouflage and it's something else waiting for another opportune time to come against you. So when you have, so I don't even go to the hospital when family members are going. I wait till they all go back to work. Because most of them are unbelievers when it comes to being able to speak people out of the hospital, out of their condition, and changing that situation. And then they're so afraid that they'll give you credit. They don't understand. I don't want any credit. The credit is not mine. I have no power of myself. I only operate in the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit uses me. Sometimes, and it's real strange, sometimes I say, Lord, will you allow me to pray for that situation? I don't hear nothing. I'll go ahead and pray, okay? But how do I know what the purpose is? Maybe that's supposed to stay because that's a drawing mechanism. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes those things are drawing mechanisms to draw people out of their sin and into the marvelous light. Do you understand? And if they never have any hardships or never any problems or whatever, they think that they're being blessed and it's okay to continue on that road that they're in. Do you understand? See, Bishop and I sometimes, when Katrina hit, and I told this story quickly, I don't have time to really go to it again. You've got to go to some of my other archives. But anyway, we spoke to some of the people that had AIDS. Do you understand? We dealt with a lot of different issues with the Katrina people. You know, and all of them were spiritual. You know, some people had AIDS. Some people were off into witchcraft. Some people were liars, thieves. You know, it was a gamut of stuff in that small mission that we had in Port Allen. And so what we did was, after I would preach and anoint, okay, then we would ask people to come up for prayer. And when they came, I had a team that we were always prayed up. So when we actually saw demons leaving the people, we saw the demons in the eyes. And when we laid hands on, you know, sometimes it was a stay lay hand on. And sometimes, you know, the Bible said be careful about laying your hands on anybody and anything, okay, because it depends on some things. Some situations and spirits are broken with prayer and fasting. So it depends on what kind of spirit rested in that person. Sometimes it may appear that that person has one thing going when they really have a whole nother thing. That thing has layers and layers and layers because there are multiple demons operating in that situation. And so we have so many reports coming back from people that we laid hands on, or we fasted and called demonic spirits out. We had all of those kinds of things going on, and you know, the devil just had to wreak havoc with that that church. And so when Gustav hit, that church was destroyed. Okay, because that was our place, and it took us a long time to be able to. So we had to actually start operating in our home, and then operating. Now we have another church that have come forth, and we have placed a minister there who knows about spiritual warfare. We found someone who could actually do battle, and so if he needs us, he calls us, because we're planters. We plant churches. We're not trying to be in charge of anything. We're overseers. Bishops are overseers. So we oversee and we start churches, and we're apostolic bishops. In other words, we go and we plant and that sort of thing. So we speak to these situations. We do lots and lots of warfare. So these are some of the tools and tactics that the Holy Spirit has given us. So I want to say this. I got way out there, you know, and let me bring this back. So we can destroy the wickedness early, and we can destroy our enemies that hate us. Let's go to Psalms 18 quickly. Psalms 18. And I'm gonna do this real quick. Remember, I'm reading from my Jerusalem Bible, and it speaks of Yahweh. So it says this. Who else, starting with verse 31, chapter 18, who else is God but Yahweh? Who else a rock? Yahweh is God's name. Save our God, this God who girds me with strength and makes my way without blame, who makes my feet like the hinds, in other words, hind feet, you know, that we can lift, jump over the buildings, and, you know, like Superman, and holds me from falling on the heights, who trains my hands for battle, my arms to bend a bow of bronze. See, you can't do that in the flesh, baby. They're talking about in the spirit. Who trains me spiritually to be? Yahweh does, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, teaches me teaches my hands how to do battle, and my arms to bend a bow of bronze. You know, in the flesh, I can't bend bronze, okay? You, Yahweh, give me your saving shield. In other words, your right hand upholds me. Who is God's right hand? Jesus Christ. Okay? See, this is speaking of Jesus. Psalms is still here speaking of Jesus. Okay? He's my right hand. With care, you train me. Okay? He trains me with care. In other words, he doesn't just throw stuff at me and whatnot. He allows me to keep seeking him and seeking him. And then he moves strategically, showing me how to do warfare so I can stop the enemy dead in his tracks, and how to send the angels forth to do battle, okay,
for me. So this is not a natural but a spiritual fight. I pursue, listen at this, I pursue my enemies and overtake them, nor turn back till an end is made of them. So in other words, instead of the devil pursuing me, I'm going to turn around, okay, because now I have hold of the precious promises, and I understand spiritual warfare, and I know that I know that I know that God has given me the power through the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit brings the power, okay? And Christ Jesus, all right, has given me all things, all weapons. Okay, so no weapon formed against me can ever prosper. Okay, oh yeah, he can do his little thing and create confusion and all of that. But if I keep my eye on Jesus, if I don't look at my circumstance and then listen to my friends who don't know more word than me, okay, you're supposed to surround yourself with people that constantly speak that word, constantly speak that word. Those are the kind of people so they can remind you when an enemy comes in. Like the flood, God can lift up that standard, okay, against him. But that can only happen if you understand your spiritual self, if you understand the equipment of the spirit man, okay? I pursue my enemies and overtake them, nor turn back till an end is made of them. So I don't even stop. I continue to pursue them. I hunt them down. Do you understand? I make them sad they ever knew me. I make them sad they ever heard my name. How can I do that? Okay? I strike them down and they cannot rise. The only way you can do that, baby, is with the word of God. When you speak that word of God, okay, against that enemy's knee has to bow. That's the word of God, baby. I'm telling you no word of lie. I'm telling you the truth. When you speak, I've actually spoken to a Holy Ghost-filled person that was speaking against me because they became angry with me and they went back to their vomit and started speaking against me using the same tactics they did in the world. And I started speaking in my prayer language and I said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I know the spirit that is speaking to me now that is not that woman of God. And I started speaking to that thing until that thing bowed its knee. I did not stop. When I got through talking to that person, that spirit that rested in the person at that time, I was sweating BBs. That's how powerful that person that I was speaking to. Do you understand? So it does not matter how powerful you are. The enemy can ease in and use you and take you back to the stuff that you use. So you have to be crafty, as wise as a serpent, yet harmless as a dove. Because remember, we are God's children, okay, not the enemies. So we cannot wrestle with flesh and blood. We have to speak to that enemy, all right? So strike them down, and they cannot rise. They fall under my feet. Didn't the word of God say that he was going to put the enemy under your feet when he came and whipped the devil? He put him under your feet? Okay, but by you just saying the devil can't do me nothing, he's under my feet. Baby, it takes more than you saying that. You've got to have a boldness. You have to have a fervor. You have to know that you know that you know, because guess what? That enemy knows you. He knows just how much you know and how much word you actually speak out. So by you running around flaunting saying that, that ain't nothing. That ain't nothing. Let me tell you something, my baby. When you speak out of your word, the enemy ought to tremble. You ought to be able to shut that thing down right where it stands, and he has no word to say to you. Do you understand? But you've got to be built up in the Holy Ghost. You have to know that you know that you know, okay? Then it goes on to say this, you have girt me with strength for the fight, okay? God has girded us. We are girt, okay? G-I-R-T, girt. We are girt with the equipment that it takes and the boldness that it takes, but it's got to come out of your mouth, okay? You can't cower down. And let me tell you something. I was never a fighter as a child. I was always an obedient child. Let me tell you something. Sometimes that was to my detriment, because there were times that even though I was sweet and I was kind, that had I had enough boldness and had not been beat down, had I had enough boldness, I could have spoken to some of those spirits that were trying to overtake my life and to rule and reign, and they almost had me. But God,
okay, provided a way of escape. And Jesus was that way of escape. And when I got into him, even though I had been saved from 11 years old, okay, but I did not have the Holy Ghost. When I got the Holy Ghost, baby, something changed in me. A boldness that I had never had my entire life. So whenever the enemy will send something my way, because I always was a seer, okay, I saw. When I see that thing, I can smell it coming. I want you to know that's how long I've been on this road, all right? So now know this. You have girt me with strength, okay, for the fight, okay, and give me that boldness. Bent down my assailants beneath me. I didn't do that. Christ bent down my assailants beneath me through his word, through God's word, through the spoken word, okay? That sword, that cuts going in and coming out, okay? Made my enemies turn their backs to me, all right? Who did that? Yahweh. God did. Christ did. The Holy Ghost, all right? They made my enemies. Because I am too weak in my flesh to fight my enemies. And the older you get, the less strength you have in your physical. So therefore, your spiritual have to be weaker. I bind that. The spirit has to be stronger as you get weaker in your flesh. So that you can still do what you can still do battle, but now you're not doing battle in the flesh, you're doing battle in the spirit. Do you hear what I'm saying? Okay. Now, God has made my enemies turn their backs to me, and those who hate me, I destroy. I destroy them. How do I destroy them? By the word of God, through speaking that word, okay? You are 43. You deliver me from a people in revolt. You place me at the head of the nations, a people I did not know are now my servants. Okay? So we need to understand who we are in God. If you don't understand who you are in God, you're going to have to do some serious study. You're going to have to, and if you don't understand what Jesus died, that salvation package, to bring you into wholeness so that you can be bold in your spirit, fight the enemy on every hand, okay, and do battle in the heavenlies, okay, with the angels. I need you to understand there's some warfare that you know not of, all right? And although things look nice on the outside, it's confusion and it's turmoil and it's all kind of wickedness in those high places. Now, let's go here. Satan is rendered helpless when his forces are destroyed. And that's what we're talking about, destroying his forces. All right? We have the authority to bind the strong man and strip him of his armor. We have that authority. We have that authority. Who gave it to us? Jesus did. Okay? Now, I want you to understand this. Israel was sent into Canaan. Remember when Israel was sent into Canaan to see the spies, to see what was going on in Canaan? Okay, the reason they went into Canaan was to destroy the different nations that lived there. There were different nations. They were not all one nation. Okay, and this was a picture, in other words, a type and shadow of kingdoms. The different kingdoms that possessed that land. So when the Lord sent the spies out to destroy them, okay, he was destroying the forces that were there that the people were too weak in their spirit, man, to fight. You understand? So he allowed them to fight in the flesh to kill them off, because had they not fought in the flesh, they would have been killed in the spirit, because those strongholds were there. And so we have to understand how to root out those strongholds. We have to be able to identify
that a particular region or a particular gate in the city, and as we go along in this series, I'm going to speak to those gates that operate in cities and tell you how to speak to the gate so that when you go into a city, okay, you will not have the same warfare that you would if you were ignorant of the warfare in that city, okay? So each kingdom represents a different type of stronghold that God wanted his people to destroy, all right? Each kingdom. So demons are also represented by different creatures. That's all over the Word of God. And the diversity in the animal kingdom is a picture, it's a type and shadow of the diversity in the kingdom of darkness. Okay, and the reason I say this is that the Bible speaks of serpents, right? You've heard about the serpents, the scorpions, okay, the lions, the jackals, the bulls, the foxes, the owls, the sea serpents. He speaks of flies, and he says that Satan is the king fly. He's the master of the lord of the flies, okay, and dogs. So we need to be careful when we have dogs as our pets, okay? Because you have to understand that they can possess demonic spirits. You need to understand that. And when they do, then, you know, you think about it. Every time it talks about in a city that waste is thrown on the outskirts of the city and the dogs eat it. You know, so now you think about this. Think this is something we'll have to go further into that at another time. But I need you to know that these different animals represent different kinds of evil spirits that operate to destroy mankind. Okay, because remember, in the beginning, the animals laid down. Okay, and they were where the people were, and the animals didn't devour the people. Do you understand? So when Satan came, a lot of demonic spirits came with that spirit that operated in animals, okay? Excuse me. They are invisible to the natural eye. These spirits are invisible, but I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, I've seen them. I can look in an animal's eyes, and I can see the spirit that dwells in that animal, and I speak to that spirit, and I actually have cast out spirits on animals, okay, because I can't have a dog around me that has picked up a spirit of whatever, all right, because there's all kinds of spirits that are out there, and they are just as real as the natural creatures themselves, these spirits that they pick up. So we have to remember that there are more with us than against us, okay? Because God is on our side. God is with us. The forces of light are far superior to the forces of darkness. So we have nothing to be afraid of, but God does not want us to be ignorant of these forces. So Jesus is the Lord of the armies, and the armies of heavens of the heavens are fighting with the armies of the earth. This is constant. We need to understand that there's battles going on in the heavenlies at all times. Now, releasing the angelic armies of heaven is as important a strategy in warfare as any others. So we're slack in that area. We're supposed to be releasing the angelic armies of heaven, of the heavens, okay, as using that as a strategy against the warfare. So in the next episode, we're gonna start speaking some of these things, and I'm gonna start talking to you about some of these forces, speaking to those forces, so that you can get built up in the Holy Ghost. And I want you, my baby, to actually go in and do some study. Turn your TV off, okay? Give the children some activities if you need to. Take a break away from family members. Go on vacation and don't just go to Disneyland and SeaWorld, okay? Take your Bible, okay, and go out on the water someplace, all right? And actually read that word and let the Holy Ghost start speaking to you in reference
to what God wants for you to do, because nobody knows your battle as Christ knows your battle. You understand? Some of us have a battle that goes into other areas because of our positions in life. Do you understand? We all have the same basic battles, but some battles are stronger than other battles. Okay, if that's the right way to put that. But I hope you understand what I'm saying to you. All demonic forces are bad demonic forces. But just as I said, that some forces are weaker than other forces. And sometimes it takes the strong. That's why Jesus said that some spirits are broken through prayer and fasting only. Okay, that you can't just speak to that thing from what's inside of you. You have to go a step further. So that tells you that there's some battles that are stronger than other battles. All right? So we can destroy and root out the forces of darkness in the heavens, the earth and the sea and under the earth. We have the power to do that. But you have to understand that this is actually what it is. And stop looking at man as being a battle for you. Man is not your battle. It's that spirit that rests in that man that's your battle. And you have to speak to that spirit and not that man, okay? Because remember, we have to draw people to Christ. Our position is following Christ. That's what Christ did. We have to do what Christ did, okay? We can't operate in the flesh. And these forces can operate through people. These forces that I'm talking about, these are the areas, and I need you to be aware so that you can see that they operate through people, they operate in governments, okay? You can see them operating in our government, you know, because there's been some bills passed and some laws passed, you know, that go against what God's word says. So that's a spirit that's operating through our government, okay? Our economic system. There's spirits operating. That devil is there to steal, kill, and destroy our economic systems, okay? And the systems that God, the things that God has given us, they're trying to deplete us economically, okay? And once they complete you economically, if you're not strong in the spirit, you'll be weak in your flesh and you'll go back to your vomit. The old ways. Do you understand? So that's the whole point of the matter, to get you disarmed and take you back to your vomit. Then there's the educational system. Well, we know that when they took prayer out of the schools. That's one of the things. And then they teach you all that it's okay for you to have whatever lifestyle and your sexuality that you want to have sexuality. I was reading on the internet the other day that there was a young boy that had changed himself into a girl, and now he has come to realize that that wasn't what God wanted for him. He was tricked of the enemy. And so now he's got to try to revert back to being a boy after taking on these shots and taking on a female spirit, okay? So that shows you that somebody must have been praying for that young person for that to happen. That when I saw that, I said, well, praise God. Something is working out there in the heavenlies against these principalities, because that young person didn't come to that on their own, because once the enemy stronghold grabs you, then you're generally bound. But for him to come forth to do that, okay, and denounce, okay, that spirit, that says that prayer is working and that God is true of his word, okay? So the educational system is one. And look what happened recently with the killings, you know, in Connecticut. I mean, all those schools. So what are they teaching in the schools that they're not teaching brotherly love? Okay, they're not teaching allegiance to our flag anymore. You know, so you wonder why people are doing the things that they do against this country, and outsiders are coming in and perpetrating a fraud and getting into our government and spying on what we do and whatnot, and sending that information back to their own countries and selling it to other countries. And this is just a pitfall of every damnable thing that you could possibly think of, this melting pot that we live in called the United States. I love the United States. I've been to other countries.
countries. And you can't live better in other countries that you can live here with less. I'm telling you the truth, okay? So the thing of the matter is we need to stop running out of other countries, going to other countries, because at any point in time, their government can take everything that you have, as they're saying that this country can do. Do you understand? And let's fight for what we have here. Let's all rise together and fight the good fight of faith. Fight against this, not against people, but spirituality, these spiritual wickedness in high places. Let's cast those things down. Let's break those strongholds. Okay, then it also is different structures set up by men. Anything that's a different structure. Now, I read recently on the internet that now they've been able to take an egg, an embryo, and stick another female's hormones or whatever into that embryo because the mother was unable to conceive, and so now the child has been born that has three parents. Now, if God wanted you to have three parents, baby, he would have given you three parents. Know this. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, we're just doing all sorts of things, damnable things in science, and it's being allowed to experiment in these areas, and even sometimes not allowed, but people are doing their own thing according to what they do, and it's all in secret. So I need you to understand there's so much going on in the world that we need to be praying about. We need to stop praying for Mercedes-Benz and Jaguars and Bentleys and Maseratis and fine homes and castles, and we need to stop praying for, I want God to bless me because he said his people will be blessed. Baby, you're supposed to be blessed so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. It's not about your edifice and what you ride in and where you eat and where you go and what designer clothes that you wear. And trust me, I have all of the above. But guess what? I didn't have a car that I wouldn't pick some hobo up or a stranger up and take him to church. Filthy smelling and the whole nine yards. I've said this before. So, you know, everything that we have, I mean, and I brought in all kind of people in my home that were not lovers of the Lord and tried to teach them at my table and eat at my table and try to show them, and we would have Bible study to show them that of the wicked ways of the world. But see, I already saw who they were. So, you know, I gave them a period of time to change, you know, and not do wrong. But you also have to survive yourself. Trust me, you can let an enemy stay if you want to the point that he changes everything and have the people in your house going to nightclubs. This one person had gone to a nightclub, and one of the guys put a pill in her drink. Next thing you know, she was out of her clothes, dancing on the floor, and they were taking her home to in their bins to rape her. You know, and she would have gone along with that because they have the medications that you can put in that all your inhibitions leave. You see what I'm saying? And then anything goes and it feels wonderful, and let's do this thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I tried to tell her mother that this was the case. And do you know her mother refused to believe that her child was doing that? And I had several eyewitnesses there that came back and gave that report. And I know those people were not lying about that, you know. So the devil is busy, let's put it, and he's devouring your children. And if you don't want to turn from your wickedness and you don't want to turn and you don't care that your children don't turn, then expect the damnable things to happen to you. That's why your son has AIDS. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because you did not teach him that the road he was going down was not a good road. You understand? So as you hear and you keep rejecting and keep rejecting God's word, you can't reject God's word because his word is not going to go back to him void. Now, the Bible uses strong words that pertain to warfare, and I'm going to give you some of these words. I want you to look these words up, and maybe next time we have to talk about some of this because we're running out of time. But the Bible talks about the word, he uses the word, the Bible uses the word abolish, which means to end, to cut, to strike through. And that's in Isaiah 2:18 and 2 Timothy 1:10. Then he uses the term the beat down, and that means to beat, to bruise,
violently strike, crush, destroy. These are things that we're supposed to be doing to the enemy. We're not supposed to be doing this in the flesh. We're supposed to be doing this in the spirit, even though it might have manifested itself in the flesh in the Old Testament. Okay? But when Christ came, remember, we have a new testament. We have a new not so much new commandments, okay, but we have a new, the word keeps eluding me. Anyway, a new way of life, let's put it that way, okay? And then to beat down is to beat, crush, violently strike, crush, destroy, discomfort, to break down by violence, dismay, to testify, okay? That's in Judges 9. 45, 2 Kings 13:25, Psalms 18:42, Isaiah 27:12, and Jeremiah 46:5. Then there's a term called breakdown, which means to deliver, break, rend in pieces, crush, destroy, to spoil, by breaking in pieces, to pluck down, pull down, ruin, beat down, cast down, dash in pieces, disperse. And that's in Exodus 34:13, Leviticus 26:19, Psalms 2:9, 10:15, and 58:6, 72:4, Ecclesiastes 3:3, and Isaiah 45:2, Jeremiah 28:4, Daniel 2:40. To cast down is to tear down, to break down, destroy, overthrow, pull down, throw down, cast down to hell. Okay, there's a number of scriptures for that. And then we have, because we only have about 3 minutes, and I've got to complete this because I've got to start giving you the words to speak. Cast down, to occupy by driving out the previous tenants. That's to cast out, okay, and possessing their place. So we're supposed to cast out, okay, by occupying, driving out the previous tenants, so that's the demonic forces, and possessing their places, to seize, to rob, to inherit, to expel, to impoverish, to send away, to push away or down, cast away, to banish, to eject, send out, to throw out, okay? Now, here's some I'm going to give you some New Testament scriptures, Matthew 12:28, Mark 6:13, Luke 9:40, and John 12:31, and Revelations 12:9. Now, we spoke earlier about chase, okay? To pursue, run after, with hostile intent. I love that one. And to put to flight, okay? Persecute, that's Leviticus 26:7 through 8, Deuteronomy 32:30, Psalms 18:37, 35:3 in Isaiah 17:13. Then we've got to confound, which means to confuse, to be ashamed, disappoint, brought to confusion, put to shame. Okay? Let's see. I'm going to, when I go into the words, that's going to give you some more of these same scriptures. Okay? Consume, to end, consume away, destroy, make clean, riddance. Make clean riddance, okay? To eat, devour, okay? Then there's contend, to anger, meddle, strive, stir up, grapple, to destroy, to end, to cease, destroy, utterly make clean, okay? Fight, to consume, to battle, make war, or overcome, prevail, struggle, contend with adversity, okay? I've got 1 minute left, and I'm going to do this. The Bible contains many words that speak of warfare. The Bible is warfare. The history of man has been determined by wars. John saw war in the heaven between Michael and his angels and Satan and his angels in Revelation 12:7. So war requires warriors, okay? Warriors must have the tenacity to overcome their enemies. Remember, God trains our hands to war and our fingers to fight, according to Psalms 144:1. So I close with this today, my baby. Then on the next episode, I'm going to be giving you all those scriptures for those three sections that I have shared with you. So I want you to go and be blessed. I want you to get into your word. I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to do a perfect work in you, because where on earth when Jesus brings the heavenlies to earth and we dwell when we're transformed with him from glory to glory in Jesus' name. Thank you and God bless you. Amen.